You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host and Pelicans insider, credential member of the media for the past number of seasons, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Wednesday, brought to you by Draft and PlayDraft.com. Here on Locked On Pelicans, and we're going to kind of have a bit of a grab bag day. So you guys have seen, I've been trying to put a little more structure into the show, and we've got some recurring segments, and I kind of keep Wednesdays open just to tackle whatever topics we need to. Thursday is usually going to be the day for national NBA stories, talking about one or two of the biggest ones that are going on. But Monday was so just straight bananas in the NBA that I think we need to talk about some of that here. So we're going to talk about some national stuff today. Kemba Walker, Damian Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, some of kind of all of these different things here. Because that's going to lead into talking about trade targets and some trade rumors in tomorrow's podcast, as well as wrapping up the national NBA stories. Probably talk about the Cavaliers tomorrow, and my God, do they just need to take Kevin Love behind the shed and put him out of his misery. So we'll kind of cover, go all over the place today, just be a little scatterbrained, which might be a little more fun, and mix it up. And then in the third segment, we're going to preview the Hornets, how to beat this team. Can this Pelicans team show they're actually turning a corner? I mean, we have been here before, haven't we? Where it's like, oh my God, you get that victory over the Bulls, everyone's celebrating this, and it's like, you shouldn't have had to beat the Bulls in double overtime at home in the first place. But maybe they are turning the corner, and we'll see, because there is a very clear way on how you beat this fairly disappointing Charlotte team. So we'll cover all of that and more looking around the NBA in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by Draft. So like I said, we're going to kind of be national today, look around the NBA, talk about different NBA topics before finally touching on the Pelicans and Charlotte in the third segment here. But yesterday, I gave you guys my top five power rankings in the NBA, which we'll be doing once a week, and it was Golden State, Houston, Boston, Toronto, and I put Minnesota in the fifth spot. And I really think those top four are set, and then after that, it gets kind of maybe a little bit iffy. So we did over at the Locked On Podcast Network our own NBA power rankings as a group, so everyone chimed in and we got kind of a consensus ranking. And they're similar-ish to what I said. So everyone obviously is going to vote Golden State number one. The Houston Rockets were in two. They have the Toronto Raptors at three instead of the Boston Celtics, like I put, which could be due to Boston's more recent slide, which they've been going through. Like I said, since December 15th, they basically have been the worst offense in the league. That's not going to get it done, even if you are the best defense. All opposite ends of the spectrum there. So they have the Raptors at three. Then they have the San Antonio Spurs at four, and then the Boston Celtics at five. So Minnesota, who I had as my fifth, is all the way down in the eighth spot. So it goes San Antonio, Boston, the Cavs, which I don't see how you can put the Cavs that high. Washington Wizards after the Cavaliers. I don't see how you can put the Wizards that high, but I'll talk about them in a second. Then the T-Wolves, then OKC, then the Miami Heat. So it's an interesting top 10, not the way I would have done it myself personally, but hey, this is why we get to talk about it, and I think it's pretty interesting. The Spurs, and this is going to tie into the first national segment here that I want to touch on, seem to have a little bit of disarray going on with them right now. And how much, I don't really know, but I think everyone by now has heard that Kawhi Leonard may want out of the NBA, off the San Antonio Spurs. I think Jalen Rose came out and straight said he wants to be traded, though he hasn't said that. But basically, there are rumors that since he's had these injuries this year, that quad injury, and a bit of a shoulder injury, that he's been away from the team and he's been distant. And I don't know, that's really what it was. And just to say someone's distant, well, yeah, he hasn't been around the team because he's been rehabbing. Maybe there is some distance and that's okay, and he just needs to get back into the fold. And largely, I'm a dude who believes, I'll trust like whatever Popovich does. So to see that maybe they're in some disarray kind of threw me off. And then they go out last night and they really And they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not necessarily a tough thing there. They beat them 114-102, by the way. Cavs team, which we'll talk about more tomorrow, is that team's in disarray. So the Spurs thing, I think, freaked me out. And then as you kind of get more into this, I don't know what to make of this story. And I think we're going to need to wait to find out, obviously, which is usually the case with most things. But don't forget, at one point, LaMarcus Aldridge wanted out and wanted to be traded because he didn't like it there. And Popovich just like wasn't the right coach and fit for him. And Pop really took that to heart. And he's come out and said this in a number of different interviews. And I'm going to basically be paraphrasing him here. But he basically said that, you know, he was coaching the guy wrong for what the guy needed. And Popovich had to kind of change his approach and his style a little bit. And Pop met with him one night, spent like an hour talking. And then LaMarcus Aldridge immediately signs an extension right after that. So that's how good Popovich is. That she he could meet with a disgruntled player and then immediately get the guy to buy in long term and sign long term. It's pretty good, gotta say. So I think I probably should have given them a little bit more credit. Now the Wizards being ranked 1, 2, 3, 7th. There we go. That I don't understand. So this Wizards team, I think there's a lot of parallels here to the Pelicans and what the Pelicans have been going through. One, the records are similar. You've got the Wizards at 26-21, and yet no one really thinks this team's all that good and worthy of a ton of attention or anything like that. And as the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, I think you kind of look at them and they're like, yeah, they're a disappointment. This team just got blown out by Dallas. They've got bad losses to Charlotte a couple of times this year. They've lost to Utah twice. And they've lost to Atlanta where they got blown out. They've lost to Brooklyn twice. So you look at kind of their losses and you're like, oh my God, they're just playing down to their competition. They've lost to the Lakers. Who else? I'm going through this here. Charlotte a number of times. Portland. It's okay. You know, so you look at their loss to Dallas twice and badly, by the way. Oh, and Phoenix, there we go, too. That was the other one I was looking for. I mean, it's very similar to the Pelicans, where they're going to make the playoffs. They're in playoff position. They've got two All-Stars, basically, in John Wall and Bradley Beal. Beal was just named to the All-Star squad as reserve for the first time in his career. Yet no one really likes this team because those losses leave such a bad taste in your mouth, shooting around 30% against Dallas in the loss the other night. How can you take that team seriously till they really start to put it together? So there's talent on that team. They have a winning record where they're a couple games above 500, but you don't really believe in them for some reason. And again, I think that is also applying to the Pelicans. And I'm going to be on the radio, I believe, today, talking with Matt Moscona on ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge and ESPN Radio New Orleans. And I listened to him yesterday while driving. I was texting back and forth with him after a little bit. And if you have not seen the Should You Get Emotionally Invested in the Pelicans chart, check it out. I've got it over on Twitter. And basically, that's the reason why it's so tough for people to get behind this team. You'd much rather have a team that wins all its games against bad competition, loses against better competition, because then at least they're a scrappy underdog. But a team that's up and down and is going to disappoint you just as easily as they thrill you can be very difficult to watch. So when I was looking through our power rankings, definitely saw some parallels between the New Orleans Pelicans and the, disappointing Washington Wizards. So before moving on and talking about some maybe disgruntled or tradable NBA superstars, I do want to mention that fantasy sports fans need to listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? And that's why Draft and PlayDraft.com is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have downloaded the Draft app as well. Play in a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second so you can join one whenever you want. And that's the key. It's a draft. It's not a salary cap site where you need to have research done. You need to know who isn't being picked up and who isn't being bought in that league, because Those are the guys who are going to help you. You can't just draft Anthony Davis, or not draft, sign Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, because everyone else has them. You need dark horses that no one is picking. You don't necessarily know who that is, and it takes a lot of work. Hence why pros tend to win all that money. Here at Draft, real life snake draft, you get Cousins on your team, you've got him. No one else can reap the benefits. You don't need to be an expert. You just need to be a smart NBA fan to win some money. And all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code LOPELICANS. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPELICANS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On podcast listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LOPELICANS. So it's been so busy here at Locked On Pelicans with the team and what they're doing that I haven't even been able to address kind of the Kemba Walker rumors and everything else that's going on. So I'm glad we have this day to kind of catch up on things around the league. And don't forget, we are going to talk more about trade targets tomorrow, as well as the other national big NBA storylines that are making news. So I think it was Woj the other day who broke, and if it wasn't Woj, I'm sorry to whoever it was that broke, that the Charlotte Hornets are basically looking to trade Kemba Walker and are interested in moving him and getting a decent return. Because what they're trying to do, I think they realize they're not going anywhere. They want to enter a rebuild, and they want to get some of their bad salary off their books. Being a rebuilding team and having salary cap space is so damn important, because if you look at what the Philadelphia 76ers did, they took on a lot of just not great contracts because they knew they weren't competing for a couple of years, and absorbed those contracts as a third team facilitator in trades, but also got a lot of first or second round picks that way. So they used that salary cap space as a really great asset, and I kind of like what they've did there. I'm not a huge Hinkie fan, to be honest, Sam Hinkie, their former GM and the creator of the process. But I do like what he did with the salary cap space. If you look at him in almost any trade, it's tough to say he didn't win them. And that maybe, not as much now, but at the time, easily could have included the Jrue Holiday for Nerlens Noel in a future first-round pick trade. So the Hornets are potentially looking to move Kemba Walker along with one of their bad contracts, which will lower his value, particularly that of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Marvin Williams. Who else here? Those are really the two big ones. Maybe Dwight Howard, maybe Nick Batum, though I don't think it would be Dwight Howard. I think they will keep him. So Nick Batum is making $24.5 million. Marvin Williams, who's making $13 million, and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's making $13 million. All those guys are like fine NBA players, but they are overpaid, even at $13 million in today's modern NBA. So the Charlotte Hornets are rumored to be wanting to move Kemba along with one of those guys for an all-star, at least in return, or probably a high draft pick and some salary cap relief. So I tweeted this out when the news kind of broke. If you guys are going to come at me with Kemba Walker trades, and I love Kemba Walker, he's one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA. You talk about a guy who's a closer down in the fourth and is great in clutch and crunch time. That is him. And the Pelicans easily could need a guy like that. If we saw them, or if you watched their game towards the end against the Chicago Bulls in overtime, you just want a guy who can shoot some daggers and close out the game, it'd be great. But because of needing to take back all that salary and the limited assets the Pelicans have, there's likely no chance that a deal gets done here. So it's disappointing to hear, because I would love him in New Orleans. Imagine your backcourt set with him and Jrue Holiday, and then you've got the front court and Davis and Cousins. Who needs a wing at that point? So interesting to hear that maybe he's going to be on the block. Then it sounded like the Charlotte Hornets owner, Michael Jordan, came out and said, no, maybe I don't want to trade him, or it would take a whole lot. So you've got to wonder really what's going on there, if he's going to be on the block at all now. But certainly they're entering a rebuild, and maybe you can kind of look at some pieces from them, which we'll maybe get to in the future, because Michael Kidd-Gilchrist wouldn't be the worst. I don't know about Nick Batum at $22.4 million, because he's kind of just been a bit disappointing, but he's a guy who can still play ball, so who knows exactly. Moving around, Portland looks to be in some potential disarray too, with supposedly Damian Lillard asking for a private meeting with their ownership and the front office on what they're doing in the direction of the team. Portland sits a half game below New Orleans in the standings in the seventh seed at 25-22, so one game back in the loss column. And this is a weird team. We've talked about this all year whenever the Pelicans played them. They've been great defensively. They've been kind of middling offensively. And you've just got to wonder what's exactly going on. A team with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum shouldn't struggle to score points offensively. Their spacing hasn't been great at times, different things like that. Damian Lillard, should he be made available or ask for a trade, there's no chance of coming to New Orleans. Trust me, I'd love that just as much as Kemba, the former Rookie of the Year, in the same draft class that Anthony Davis was picked up in. But he's going to command a lot. The guy is young and basically still on like a decent-ish contract. So, you know, basically this is his sixth year in the NBA. He's the type of guy I don't think you can necessarily build a team that's going to win an NBA title with him as your best player. But at $26 million to $31 million over the next 4 years, he's locked up. He's under contract. That's relatively cheap. He's a big name, you know, kind of not superstar player, but big name player. I think it'd be tough to try and swing a trade for him if you're the Pelicans or really any other team at all. So as we round back towards the Pelicans and finish off the podcast, don't forget, go check out LockedOnPelicans.com. I've got an article up there right now talking about how the Pelicans struggle in the third quarter and what lineup is causing it, where this is coming from. It's very obvious, though there really aren't a ton of answers out there. But if you want to know more about the Pelicans' struggles in the third quarter, go check out LockedOnPelicans.com today. So the Pelicans do have a game tonight. They are in Charlotte for a one-game road trip, taking on the Hornets. The Hornets that may or may not want to trade Kemba Walker. Who really knows? And this Charlotte Hornets team is disappointing. They sit at 19-26. They're 11th in the Eastern Conference. So they're not making the playoffs this year. And I think this is why you see them wanting to maybe rebuild. But they do have Kemba, and they do have Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard, by the way, is averaging over 15 or more rebounds per game in his last five. So he can be very tough. And he gets a number of offensive rebounds that can really get that team kind of over the edge and finish off some possessions. So it's not a game to take lightly. And we know that the Pelicans basically, whether they're going to win or lose, is do they give a damn tonight? And hopefully they'll give a damn against this team. This Charlotte team, again, maybe a little more top-heavy than well-rounded. Jeremy Lamb and Frank Kaminsky do a good job of running and anchoring the second unit, but they do start to kind of wear down in the fourth, and this team tends to run out of steam there. You see their fourth quarters have been really rough. So that's where you need to kind of go and beat them that way. You've got to make a run in the fourth quarter. Pelicans did this the other night against the Chicago Bulls where they went on a furious rally. But this is a game where if you get out to a big lead against them, they can whittle it back and you've got to put them away in the fourth quarter. So that's going to be when the Pelicans still need to be in attack mode. Can they play for four quarters is kind of really the question here. Also, go at Dwight Howard early. The Hornets, mainly due to him, are second in defensive rebounding percentage. And we saw how effective the Pelicans can be if they grab offensive rebounds. So being second there, they also are one of the best teams at not fouling opponents. So you really, and not sending them to the line. If you can attack Dwight Howard and get him out of the game earlier, get him in foul trouble, it opens things up a lot. Teams don't really go to the line against the Charlotte Hornets because Howard's there with strong rim protection, not fouling. He's so good. But you've got two bigs who can draw fouls against him. You've got to get that early. Pound the rock inside. Don't settle for shooting three-pointers. That's going to be a big thing. The Hornets want to create steals and play in transition and get into early offense because their half court tends to get worse as the shot clock winds down because they aren't a great three-point shooting team. They rank 25th in three-pointers attempted, and they're 19th in three-point shooting percentage, so not great with the long ball. Their spacing breaks down. They need to kind of go inside, and they become easier to defend on the perimeter. That's ideal for the Pelicans here. But if Batum and Marvin Williams are hitting threes, their offense kind of perks up and can be a little bit difficult to beat. So you're going to need Jrue Holiday on the perimeter harassing everybody and not giving them open threes, not letting them get in rhythm. If you can avoid that, if you can get Howard in some foul trouble, the Pelicans can win this game. If you get Howard out of the game, you get the rebounding advantage. You take away kind of what makes this Charlotte team very good. So that's what you want to see from the Pelicans tonight. They didn't have as many points in the paint as you would have liked against the Chicago Bulls. They got the win in the end, but it wasn't easy. We've seen this team is so much more successful when they're trying to get inside with the ball. Let's hope they do that again tonight in Charlotte and can come out with the victory. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. Check out LockedOnPelicans.com to find out what is going on in the third quarters with this team. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We'll touch on some trade targets, some trade ideas, basically, since we are getting pretty close to that February 8th trade deadline. So like I said, enjoy the game. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a win. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game. We'll